Thank you, Commander. We're back on the air.
To elect a president, you have to have, 270 electoral votes. Your election system, there's only one word to sum it up. It stinks. By the time the decisions have left the caucus level, you no longer really have a say, if you ever did. And in the instance of modern politics, you haven't anyway. But from time to time, one's come along with the charisma, if you will, of a Bo Grites, with the drive and the determination. And if, in fact, you didn't have a rigged media, the hearts of the people would be captured by this person. You can see what they're doing with Ross Perot. Am I belittling Ross Perot? Absolutely not. But you have to look at this, and you have to pay attention to what's going on. I would assume that some of you saw Henry Kissinger on Larry King. Immediately, your mind should have gone to the fact that Larry King also has had Ross Perot, and Larry King is the front runner to interview for the established media. So something was wrong. Something was wrong. If you listened to what Henry Kissinger said about Ross Perot, you would have seen what was wrong. These people are so geared to lying that they never tell the truth, even when it would serve them better. But they are so politicized that was a very bad word, Dorma. They are so political. How's that? That they have the plan all worked out and they toy with you. And you could hear people calling in, the ones that got through, why they were practically worshiping at this brilliant authority's feet. And would he consider this, and would he consider that, and well, what did he expect from this or that? And he told some very good truths. Well, if Perot by chance got elected, could he run the country? And there was some gracious nonsense, and then, no, he couldn't. And then there is later talk about Constitution. Well, that was all right when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution. Our? This man was not an American citizen. He was a member, for goodness sakes, of the KGB. But when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution, up until Lincoln, it worked all right. But these were rural people. And it was made, you know, to protect a lot of things that were back then. And no, Mr. Perot would not be able to manage because he has absolutely no experience. And therefore, obviously what he didn't say is, we would be running it anyway. Don't kid yourself. But you see, what will be coming out now, as they begin to investigate Perot, is they're going to find that Perot has been working hand in hand ever since Nixon. He and Nixon were close friends. He and Rockefeller, close friends. That doesn't mean that he is a bad man. It means that he had become a wealthy, powerful man. And those are the circles within which one of that stature travels. And regardless of what his inner intent might be, he will be pulled down or he will be brought into line. it's obvious that they have done this deliberately to close out any also-rans. Just perchance it had to fall to the House for making a decision. If you have less than 270 votes and it goes, you know that all the states have each have a vote, an electoral vote. Well, you've got enough Republicans, number one, to nominate and elect Bush. It doesn't matter if Clinton makes it because Bush has higher authority to move into already, and he is already obviously in full working instructions from the United Nations. So he can be shifted easily. Clinton is a hand-picked, hand-polished, hand-groomed choice of the Bilderberger Trilateralists for the job, at least of the Democratic Party. They don't care which one gets it either, you see. But Clinton has been an active member of the Bilderbergers for years, as so too the Trilateral Commission. So it's all an inside job. And they have now made sure that they have a lock on it while you go through all of the hoopla. So I can only tell you that Bo is going to go right on ahead, working as hard as he can to get the word out. I have asked him to do this. You've got to have a leader to pick up the pieces. And to do so, you have to be known, and you have to be known around the nation. This is the only way to get known. It is no accident. Bo Gryts is now a citizen of the sovereign state of Nevada. Probably your entire new working government will come out of the state of Nevada eventually, because they're the only ones now who have not given away all of their power and are struggling to maintain some kind of legislative control as a sovereign state. Now, what they plan to do with this photon belt, because this does affect you, and this is why I want you to keep your glasses at ready, close your eyes down, cover your head with your shirt, whatever required to get to the glasses. Now, something is going to happen. If one scenario takes place, something else is going to happen if a different scenario takes place. I do not see, since they are working so hard to back off the entry into the null zone, I do not see it happening before the date that your Earth scientists predict, which was, what, the 25th of July or something like that. But if you are in the air on an aircraft on the 25th of July and you enter the null zone and everything shuts down, you're going to have a hard landing because those engines will not start again. So we'll cross that bridge later. Remember that you are entering a zone where you will have no electrical power and act accordingly when we get there. Just plan your travels kind of around that and for those 4 to 5 days of danger. And I know that after that point, it's Scaryville. It is truly terror time. Because I'm not going to stand out there and say, all right, in 3 minutes, you better be in the house. I will not do it. You had better begin to rely on your own intelligence. And if it has not happened in that allotted period of time between the 25th and 30th of July, you're just going to have to attend this. Now, if you're in an automobile and it stops, you're going to walk, and so you better have your glasses. And because this is a cold energy, you should not be burned, not as in a heat burn. But you are going to have to get your own travel any way you can, and that probably will be your feet. Just as soon as I give you the other scenario, well, no, go ahead.
That's leading up to your other scenario, I understand the say an electrical malfunction in the car because all electricity stops. At this point, is it clear yet which of those, in other words, the car stops, does that mean still either probability we could still be having excessive light or excessive dark?
Well, let me go ahead.
Okay.
What you do is immediately coast your vehicle to the side of the road. There won't be anything bearing down on you heavily unless it is a truck with its own momentum, because it won't have any nice braking system either. So try to get out of the way of whatever is behind you so that it doesn't run you over. Bury your head in your arms across the seat or in front of you, any way to protect your eyes. Let that initial bit of adjustment take place. You can feel around if you've got those goggles somewhere in your car. You can shelter your eyes enough. You can respond with some kind of intelligence at this point. And then once you have your eyes in protection, get your thoughts together and then act. Don't just panic and run. If this happens, you can depend on the power coming back on after 5 days. Now, I have to give you the other side of this coin and what they being your adversary, are hoping to do, planning to do, whatever. Now, for every plan, there is a counteraction. Now, you know that 250 miles off your place, for years and years and years, we were able to interfere with nuclear warheads. Anything coming out with intent to destroy, as in war, we could interfere with. Then that came down to 150 miles. Now, you will note that they are talking about a satellite in 110-mile out orbit. Don't bite on this for a moment. They are not out there to snag some old, half-dilapidated satellite to repair and feed you all the BS about it. What they are trying to do is ignite the radioactive belt around your planet. Now, they can't do it from there, so they are having to run it in stages, of which they can launch from the shuttle into a little bit higher orbit, and then they can launch the devices needed to ignite that belt from that orbit just under our capability or ability to interfere. Now, their plan, what they hope to do, is to shelter that. And it's to everybody's advantage to some extent to be able to postpone entry into the photon belt for, say, some number of years, at least until after 2000, so that the global order can continue until it is in total control. And then it doesn't mind entering into this photon belt. You've got 5 days of inconvenience, but you've got 2,000 years of running everything according to their schematics. But that's not what they want to do. They want to ignite that radioactive belt, knowing that that puts the major portion of the cosmospheres and the cosmic platforms on the other side of that belt. And they will not be able to function, either coming in or out through a burning belt like that. They will not be able literally to see their target with their pulse beams. It will wreak havoc with the targeting energy fields. And their assumption is that we will be on the outside and we wouldn't be able to come in either. Well, that's BS. We don't have to pass through it. I can get my craft through it without touching it. But that's not the point. If I were on the inside of it, unless you were going to pulverize your planet, I wouldn't be able to do anything anyway. So what purpose would there be? And if you start a chain reaction from that, I would only be able to pick up the remnant anyway, get back on the other side of that belt, so we could encapsulate the planet, so it didn't blow up or pulverize and disrupt. You see, you're not just disrupting your own orbiting system anymore. You will disrupt all the way in through six galaxies right into Pleiades. It won't be allowed. Now, the chance they're running, of course, is once again to try to fool the Russians who operate those cosmospheres. Because the most logical thing to do is to take out that satellite with or without your shuttle people immediately. But you see, they have it rigged so that if that happens, you're going to have all sorts of problems to deal with. The thrust also would be so that it would allow time for the elite to get into a safe place, and therefore the hope would be that it would be detonated, allowing some period of time that it requires for light to travel around your globe. So they've got 15, 20 minutes or more or less to get into security. And they will detonate that somewhere distant, hopefully, from their safe place. That means that you probably will have 15, 20 minutes if this scenario takes place. If this scenario takes place, you will not be without power. It may be instantly interrupted because of just energy surges and pulses. But it's not the same kind of a thing as entering into that null band. So you've got some heavy days ahead of you. Tomorrow they're planning to, quote, tell you they snag the satellite. It's going to be a perfect, perfect recovery, you know. They cannot make the damn lint filters work. But they're going to get a little bitty object out of the universe. Your elite. My goodness. Then they're going to spend some time laying it on you about what a good job they're doing of repairing it. And then they're going to get it working again. And then they're going to launch it again. And then they're going to go through all of this unless the Russians have already taken it out. And then, of course, it will simply have been lost and they couldn't get it. And they'll just come home having studied a little more weightlessness. And I've decided what that means. It means you have a little less weight in money to carry around. I can only tell you what I told the ones, and Dave Horton relayed this to his audience. If it doesn't come off, the worst thing you are is prepared. And undoubtedly, as things are coming down, don't you think those ones in South Los Angeles would have been better off if every one of them had had 5 days' food supply and some water stored. To be without power and the necessities of life. The very worst thing that could happen to you is that you would still be prepared. And if you are prepared, you don't have to pray so hard. You don't have to pray that it happens or it doesn't happen. You ones who get prepared pray that it does happen so that once, at least, Hatton will be right and you won't be the fool. If you're praying that it doesn't happen because you're not prepared, I just suggest you get prepared. And if you can't struggle along and get prepared for a longer period of time, which you are going to need, because Mr. Gorbachev is right over here right now checking on the agreements made for grain, on the futures. He already got that you had split up between you and, between Russia and China. You don't have any. You're the one. You're working on whatever they can produce right now. Well, what are you going to do about that, Hatton? We may get hungry. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to tell you how to live without having to eat, but I don't think you're going to like it. Please. Well, there is no talking in this room unless you get the machinery.
If the U.S. ignites the radioactive belt and the cosmospheres are on the outside, what have they gained by that? Are they going to then try, let's say, a nuclear first strike attack against Russia?
So.
Okay.
You can certainly count on it getting very hot on your place very quickly.
If the radioactive belt is ignited and no electricity functions, then how can they do a first strike? That requires electronics to function.
You misheard me.
Okay.
If you enter the null zone, and besides, part of the scientific community knows how to detonate and launch and so forth without electricity. But we're talking two different things. And they know that once they're into the null zone, they can't do anything. And still, the choices are going to be to pull off some other things prior to... Remember, nuclear war is dirty. And it doesn't make it too good for the ones who want things in perfection. So if you can destroy and kill a bunch of people without having to resort to that much damage to the property, what point is there in having property if it's all burned up? It's what I enjoy, all the fight and the struggle to get gold. You see, this is what the adversary never remembers, and I would hope that the people of God do, but you usually forget very quickly. Gold is only going to be valuable until we get there. We make gold. We make gold out of lead. We make gold out of zinc. We make gold out of anything we please. And therefore, if you can make a piece of gold out of a chunk of lead, what happens to the value of gold? So let them have it. As long as they will give you money, currency, in return for it, that you can make your projects. That's all you're going to be able to do with it. You can go bury it and store it and whatever, and I can only remind you, it's only valuable to the point that you use it. And if they have made the law such that if you bring out a piece of gold 6 years from now and it's forbidden, they're going to shoot you. And yet during that 5 years in between, you may be able to trade this, you see. They never just come right out until they have to. They don't like messy jobs. They always put that off to somebody else. They always like it to look like they had no alternative and that you made them do it unto yourself. And you will. You will. You did it. You saw it. These are test runs around. When something like LA happens, that is a test run. And while we're on the subject of test runs, I know all of you are sick of the CIA, but you're not going to ever hear the end of the CIA from me, because the CIA is the planning division, the orchestrating division, and the enforcement division of the world plan. You can't get away from it. They even arranged it so that you have a secret court where the victim, they don't even call you a defendant. You are called the target. And you don't even know they're having hearings about you. And EJ, I think maybe this room ought to hear that. It is the last writing on today's. This is how bad it is. And this took place in 1981. Early in the year, the law was passed, the executive order, and it came into being.
Justice, injustice. Because I get so much flack from ones who just can't believe the judicial system or the Constitution treading upon is as bad as I have said, I think you need some more information so that you might reconsider. What I will give you is not realized by the many, so you are going to have to follow along as if on new turf. I warn you, however, that the original publication of this information took place in 1981, over 10 years ago. And do you think it has progressed or faded? Secret Court Treads on Constitution, 1981. The first secret federal court in U.S. history is now empowered to maintain or suspend at will the privacy rights and constitutional prerogatives of thousands of Americans who have committed no crime, not even a traffic violation. This special panel of anonymous judges is sitting in a windowless, tightly guarded, and electronically secured courtroom whose location is known only as somewhere in Washington. An executive order issued by President Ronald Reagan on December the 4th, 1981, granted broad new powers to the CIA and other federal security and intelligence branches. Under the order, citizens will face dramatic infringements of their traditional freedoms, subject only to the opinions and rulings of the secret court. The judicial panel, which has no precedent in American jurisprudence, came into existence in 1978 with the enactment of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, nicknamed FISA. Ironically, the new tribunal, called the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, was launched for the ostensible purpose of introducing judicial moderation into the high-handed and helter-skelter system under which government agents could snoop on any citizen whose tendencies or tax returns they disliked. But as often happens when federal bureaucracies engage in augmenting their own authority, the impact of the secret court on privacy rights and civil liberties was just about the opposite of its creator's original intentions. creating a secret court flew in the face of the Constitution's stated prohibitions and implied intentions. This perceived statement came right out of the U.S. Intelligence Service. In fact, this source is a former national journalist who now serves in a government official post in an area so secret that even restroom access requires a special clearance. The original idea was to place limits on the intrusions of federal snoops into the private life of Americans, but setting up a secret court, a concept that is in itself contrary to the constitutional concept of inviolable citizen rights, turned out to be exactly the wrong way to go about it. Seven secret judges. This source had a very pessimistic conclusion. His duties included reviewing and condensing the cloak and dagger court's secret case dispositions. His conclusion was shared by an involved former federal attorney and notable Watergate prosecutor, who is now in private law practice in Washington. The surveillance court consists of seven judges. They were personally selected for the job by guess who? Chief Justice Warren Burger, who reportedly cleared the names with the president on a private and confidential basis before the appointments were confirmed. But never were they announced, then or now, to the public. The seven-member tribunal convenes in secret and hears arguments only from government lawyers and prosecutors. These are the only judicial proceedings in America, that you can know of, in which a citizen facing judgment has absolutely no presence, no voice, no counsel, nothing. In fact, the victim in point may well not even know he is under attention. The citizen in point may well be blissfully unaware that his case is sub judice in the court. In the proceedings, although his rights and interests are vitally affected, he is not even called a defendant, but merely a target. The American whose case comes before this court is, in reality, a target for government surveillance, undertaken with variable intensity by all sorts of means. So-called tails who follow every move of the suspect, phone taps, electronic listening devices planted under the wall paneling or beneath beds, and so-called pinhole TV cameras, micro-miniaturized video monitors which watch and record every move in an entire room, day and night. Three cases. Let us consider three cases in point, for example, all in 1981, so that you can get the picture and probably recognize the parties involved. We shall guard against using real names. To qualify as a target for such pervasive, indecent, and demeaning bureaucratic snooping, a citizen need not be a spy or a foreign agent, or even be suspected as one. To demonstrate the extremely broad latitude of the surveillance court's jurisdiction, we shall consider these cases. Number one concerned the Shah of Iran. Arguing that although the late Persian monarch was not suspected of espionage or other evil doing, his phone calls and personal conversations promised to be a rich source of foreign intelligence. The CIA asked for permission to bug the visiting sovereign's New York hospital room. Although no formal record exists of the surveillance court's decision in this matter, there were no written opinions, no stenographers, and no transcripts in this tribunal. When it was determined to simply kill the Shah, even his sickbed was wired for eavesdropping, just as the CIA requested. Number two was targeted against a native-born U.S. citizen of patriotic views and impeccable conduct, who will be known here as End in Sight. He became a candidate for the federal watch list because he happened to subscribe to a foreign technical periodical from a distributor of overseas publications who was suspected of a link to his native country's intelligence service. Demonstrating their potential for blind technological wizardry, the immense computers of the Hush Hush National Security Agency plucked site's name literally from the air, that is, from an overseas telephone call between the suspected periodicals distributor and his superior in the home office. The electronic circuits quickly imprinted the name on a form for such intercepts. End-end site became a target for government observation. The CIA motion to keep an eye on this dangerous individual was promptly granted by the court. In number three, the target, Fiddle D.D., is a ship's architect who simply accepted a job in another country. Although that country was not behind the Iron Curtain, it maintained an embassy in Washington whose commercial attaché was suspected by the CIA of having dubious social contacts with Soviet bloc diplomats. When the name of Fiddle popped up among the commercial attaché's routine paperwork, not just as a name, but as the recipient of an expense advance for travel, it promptly went on the electronic watch list. And there it remained with the blessing of the Cloak and Dagger Court for more than a year. Executive Order, Open Season on All. With this executive order, number 12333, is removed the long-standing ban preventing the CIA from infiltrating U.S. organizations, and legally even the meetings we have on Saturday afternoon, or you in church praying on Sunday, from conducting covert operations here, or from using U.S. citizens as spies or provocateurs in domestic projects. This is actually a major happening right in this little gathering or business meeting format that we have here. Under Executive Order 12333, for example, the CIA can bug with impunity the office of anyone, any patriotic nationalist institution, or pay agents to infiltrate and spy. How far EO 12333 will go, or has gone, depends upon the secret court. Now, since the Supreme Court justices are appointed by the President and the President is run by Henry Kissinger, who do you think might be under surveillance? So the nice thing is that we simply do nothing to cause them grief. We just exercise freedom of speech and business with total integrity. It is surely not our fault that our businesses never can make a profit. If indeed they would leave us alone, perhaps we could thrive into tax. Well, anyway, taxpayers instead of non-taxable poor folk. What really happened is that the CIA was given total permission to carry on domestically at home the way it does abroad. It can infiltrate an organization of any kind, but with ongoing permission to do so with organizations whose goals or policies or connections are at odds with the bureaucratic policies of the moment, and then blacklist the entire group. Remember, once you become the target for this kind of relentless supervision, the bureaucrats may catch you at something they didn't suspect in the first place. Tax resistance, marital infidelity, owning an unlicensed firearm, speeding, just anything at all. And these discoveries, though they may have nothing to do with your patriotism or loyalty, will end up in your file, giving the bureaucrats added leverage to manipulate and perhaps damage your life. This is the reason we are so offensive and close-minded to access of any of our property in use, because any kind of drugs other than the over-the-counter or direct prescription for infections or alcohol use on the premises and absolutely no firearms or weapons allowed, registered or otherwise. The strongest weapon herein is a very weak pellet gun for scaring the squirrels from the bird roosts. We are not here to overthrow anything. We are here to bring the truth and allow ability to grow up through that which has come upon you as remnant. In fact, we welcome assistance for helping the citizens from the government, for you have all contributed to the coffers and should be able to utilize some of the rewards. This is in housing, food growing, etc. We must remember the ones in power still have to look good. For that is the way of the adversary. He wants to make you think him wondrous while he kills you inch by painful inch. The adversary always allows you to end up responsible for your own plight. Well, during the first half of 1981, under its presiding George L. Hart, Jr., the Secret Surveillance Court heard government attorneys argue 508 cases of suspected targets, and it granted the motion for surveillance, and all that goes with that in every case. Is it any wonder that among the ones who know of the court, it is laughed about and noted that it is the only court where the government has never lost a single case? So, who loses? You and the constitutional freedoms of America, of American citizens, are totally lost. Will you ever obligate the Congress to review such incredible procedures? This is called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, to make it more strange. Indeed, it facilitates exactly that which was never meant to be allowed under constitutional law. It is said it was only meant to affect those it was meant to inhibit, alien spies and their U.S. accomplices. I wonder how Mr. Demyanyuk and Colonel Bogreitz and feel about it. How do you who are fighting the RTC and the SNL injustice and make waves feel about it? How do you feel about it for just writing truth? I can only remind ones, what goes around comes around. That which is projected out comes full circle back.
Thank you, Commander. We're back on the air.
To elect a president, you have to have, 270 electoral votes. Your election system, there's only one word to sum it up. It stinks. By the time the decisions have left the caucus level, you no longer really have a say, if you ever did. And in the instance of modern politics, you haven't anyway. But from time to time, one's come along with the charisma, if you will, of a Bogreitz, with the drive and the determination. And if, in fact, you didn't have a rigged media, the hearts of the people would be captured by this person. You can see what they're doing with Ross Perot. Am I belittling Ross Perot? Absolutely not. But you have to look at this, and you have to pay attention to what's going on. I would assume that some of you saw Henry Kissinger on Larry King. Immediately, your mind should have gone to the fact that Larry King also has had Ross Perot, and Larry King is the front runner to interview for the established media. So something was wrong. Something was wrong. If you listened to what Henry Kissinger said about Ross Perot, you would have seen what was wrong. These people are so geared to lying that they never tell the truth, even when it would serve them better. But they are so politicalized. That was a very bad word, Dorma. They are so political. How's that? That they have the plan all worked out, and they toy with you. And you could hear people calling in, the ones that got through, why they were practically worshiping at this brilliant authority's feet. And would he consider this, and would he consider that, and, well, what did he expect from this or that? And he told some very good truths. Well, if Perot by chance got elected, could he run the country? And there was some gracious nonsense, and then, no, he couldn't. And then there is later talk about Constitution. Well, that was all right when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution. Our, this man was not an American citizen. He was a member, for goodness sakes, of the KGB. But when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution, up until Lincoln, it worked all right. But these were rural people. And it was made, you know, to protect a lot of things that were back then. And no, Mr. Perot would not be able to manage because he has absolutely no experience. And therefore, obviously what he didn't say is, we would be running it anyway. Don't kid yourself. But you see, what will be coming out now, as they begin to investigate Perot, is they're going to find that Perot has been working hand-in-hand and hand-in-hand ever since Nixon. He and Nixon were close friends. He and Rockefeller, close friends. That doesn't mean that he is a bad man. It means that he had become a wealthy, powerful man. And those are the circles within which one of that stature travels. And regardless of what his inner intent might be, he will be pulled down or he will be brought into line. It's obvious that they have done this deliberately, to close out any also-rans. Just perchance, it had to fall to the House for making a decision. If you have less than 270 votes, and it goes, you know that all the states have, each have a vote, an electoral vote. Well, you've got enough Republicans, number one, to nominate and elect Bush. It doesn't matter if Clinton makes it because Bush has higher authority to move into already, and he is already obviously in full working instructions from the United Nations. So he can be shifted easily. Clinton is a hand-picked, hand-polished, hand-groomed choice of the Bilderberger Trilateralists for the job, at least of the Democratic Party. They don't care which one gets it either, you see. But Clinton has been an active member of the Bilderbergers for years, as so too the Trilateral Commission. So it's all an inside job. And they have now made sure that they have a lock on it while you go through all of the hoopla. So I can only tell you that Bo is going to go right on ahead, working as hard as he can to get the word out. I have asked him to do this. You've got to have a leader to pick up the pieces. And to do so, you have to be known. And you have to be known around the nation. This is the only way to get known. It is no accident. Bo Gryts is now a citizen of the sovereign state of Nevada. Probably your entire new working government will come out of the state of Nevada eventually. because they're the only ones now who have not given away all of their power and are struggling to maintain some kind of legislative control as a sovereign state. Now, what they plan to do with this photon belt, because this does affect you, and this is why I want you to keep your glasses at ready. Close your eyes down, cover your head with your shirt, whatever required to get to the glasses. Now, something is going to happen. If one scenario takes place, something else is going to happen if a different scenario takes place. I do not see, since they are working so hard to back off the entry into the null zone, I do not see it happening before the date that your Earth scientists predict, which was, what, the 25th of July or something like that. But if you are in the air on an aircraft on the 25th of July and you enter the null zone and everything shuts down, you're going to have a hard landing because those engines will not start again. So we'll cross that bridge later. Remember that you are entering a zone where you will have no electrical power and act accordingly when we get there. Just plan your travels kind of around that and for those 4 to 5 days of danger. And I know that after that point, it's Scaryville. It is truly terror time. Because I'm not going to stand out there and say, all right, in 3 minutes, you better be in the house. I will not do it. You had better begin to rely on your own intelligence. And if it has not happened in that allotted period of time between the 25th and 30th of July, you're just going to have to attend this. Now, if you're in an automobile and it stops, you're going to walk. And so you better have your glasses. And because this is a cold energy, you should not be burned. Not as in a heat burn. But you are going to have to get your own travel any way you can, and that probably will be your feet.
Commander, can I ask a question, please?
Just as soon as I give you the other scenario. Well, no, go ahead.
Well, leading up to your other scenario, I understand the say an electrical malfunction in the car because all electricity stops. At this point, is it clear yet which of those, in other words, the car stops, does that mean still either probability we could still be having excessive light or excessive dark?
Well, let me go ahead.
Okay.
What you do is immediately coast your vehicle to the side of the road. There won't be anything bearing down on you heavily unless it is a truck with its own momentum, because it won't have any nice braking system either. So try to get out of the way of whatever is behind you so that it doesn't run you over. Bury your head in your arms across the seat or in front of you, any way to protect your eyes. Let that initial bit of adjustment take place. You can feel around if you've got those goggles somewhere in your car. You can shelter your eyes enough. You can respond with some kind of intelligence at this point. And then once you have your eyes in protection, get your thoughts together and then act. Don't just panic and run. If this happens, you can depend on the power coming back on after 5 days. Now, I have to give you the other side of this coin and what they being your adversary, are hoping to do, planning to do, whatever. Now, for every plan, there is a counteraction. Now, you know that 250 miles off your place, for years and years and years, we were able to interfere with nuclear warheads. Anything coming out with intent to destroy, as in war, we could interfere with. Then that came down to 150 miles. Now, you will note that they are talking about a satellite in 110-mile out orbit. Don't bite on this for a moment. They are not out there to snag some old, half-dilapidated satellite to repair and feed you all the BS about it. What they are trying to do is ignite the radioactive belt around your planet. Now, they can't do it from there, so they are having to run it in stages, of which they can launch from the shuttle into a little bit higher orbit, and then they can launch the devices needed to ignite that belt from that orbit just under our capability or ability to interfere. Now, their plan, what they hope to do, is to shelter that, and it's to everybody's advantage to some extent to be able to postpone entry into the photon belt for, say, some number of years, at least until after 2000, so that the global order can continue until it is in total control. And then it doesn't mind entering into this photon belt. You've got 5 days of inconvenience, but you've got 2,000 years of running everything according to their schematics. But that's not what they want to do. They want to ignite that radioactive belt, knowing that that puts the major portion of the cosmospheres and the cosmic platforms on the other side of that belt. And they will not be able to function, either coming in or out through a burning belt like that. They will not be able literally to see their target with their pulse beams. It will wreak havoc with the targeting energy fields. And their assumption is that we will be on the outside and we wouldn't be able to come in either. Well, that's BS. We don't have to pass through it. I can get my craft through it without touching it. But that's not the point. If I were on the inside of it, unless you were going to pulverize your planet, I wouldn't be able to do anything anyway. So what purpose would there be? And if you start a chain reaction from that, I would only be able to pick up the remnant anyway, get back on the other side of that belt so we could encapsulate the planet so it didn't blow up or pulverize and disrupt. You see, you're not just disrupting your own orbiting system anymore. You will disrupt all the way in through six galaxies right into Pleiades. It won't be allowed. Now, the chance they're running, of course, is once again to try to fool the Russians who operate those cosmospheres. Because the most logical thing to do is to take out that satellite with or without your shuttle people immediately. But you see, they have it rigged so that if that happens, you're going to have all sorts of problems to deal with. The thrust also would be so that it would allow time for the elite to get into a safe place, and therefore the hope would be that it would be detonated, allowing some period of time that it requires for light to travel around your globe. So they've got 15, 20 minutes or more or less to get into security. And they will detonate that somewhere distant, hopefully, from their safe place. That means that you probably will have 15, 20 minutes if this scenario takes place. If this scenario takes place, you will not be without power. It may be instantly interrupted because of just energy surges and pulses. But it's not the same kind of a thing as entering into that null band. So you've got some heavy days ahead of you. Tomorrow they're planning to, quote, tell you they snag the satellite. It's going to be a perfect, perfect recovery, you know. They cannot make the damn lint filters work. But they're going to get a little bitty object out of the universe. Your elite. My goodness. Then they're going to spend some time laying it on you about what a good job they're doing of repairing it. And then they're going to get it working again. And then they're going to launch it again. And then they're going to go through all of this unless the Russians have already taken it out. And then, of course, it will simply have been lost and they couldn't get it. And they'll just come home having studied a little more weightlessness. And I've decided what that means. It means you have a little less weight in money to carry around. I can only tell you what I told the ones, and Dave Horton relayed this to his audience. If it doesn't come off, the worst thing you are is prepared. And undoubtedly, as things are coming down, don't you think those ones in South Los Angeles would have been better off if every one of them had had 5 days' food supply and some water stored? To be without power and the necessities of life? The very worst thing that could happen to you is that you would still be prepared. And if you are prepared, you don't have to pray so hard. You don't have to pray that it happens or it doesn't happen. You ones who get prepared pray that it does happen so that once, at least, Hatton will be right and you won't be the fool. If you're praying that it doesn't happen because you're not prepared, I just suggest you get prepared. And if you can't struggle along and get prepared for a longer period of time, which you are going to need, because Mr. Gorbachev is right over here right now checking on the agreements made for grain, on the futures. He already got that you had split up between you and, between Russia and China. You don't have any. You're the one. You're working on whatever they can produce right now. Well, what are you going to do about that, Hatton? We may get hungry. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to tell you how to live without having to eat. But I don't think you're going to like it. Please. Well, there is no talking in this room unless you get the machinery.
If the U.S. ignites the radioactive belt and the cosmospheres are on the outside, what have they gained by that? Are they going to then try, let's say, a nuclear first strike attack against Russia?
So.
Okay.
You can certainly count on it getting very hot on your place very quickly.
If the radioactive belt is ignited and no electricity functions, then how can they do a first strike? I mean, that requires electronics to function.
You misheard me.
Okay.
If you enter the null zone, and besides, part of the scientific community knows how to detonate and launch and so forth without electricity. But we're talking two different things. And they know that once they're into the null zone, they can't do anything. And still, the choices are going to be to pull off some other things prior to... Remember, nuclear war is dirty. And it doesn't make it too good for the ones who want things in perfection. So if you can destroy and kill a bunch of people without having to resort to that much damage to the property, what point is there in having property if it's all burned up? It's what I enjoy, all the fight and the struggle to get gold. You see, this is what the adversary never remembers, and I would hope that the people of God do, but you usually forget very quickly. Gold is only going to be valuable until we get there. We make gold. We make gold out of lead. We make gold out of zinc. We make gold out of anything we please. And therefore, if you can make a piece of gold out of a chunk of lead, what happens to the value of gold? So let them have it. As long as they will give you money, currency, in return for it, that you can make your projects. That's all you're going to be able to do with it. You can go bury it and store it and whatever, and I can only remind you, it's only valuable to the point that you use it. And if they have made the law such that if you bring out a piece of gold 6 years from now and it's forbidden, they're going to shoot you. And yet during that 5 years in between, you may be able to trade this, you see. They never just come right out until they have to. They don't like messy jobs. They always put that off to somebody else. They always like it to look like they had no alternative and that you made them do it unto yourself. And you will. You will. You did it. You saw it. These are test runs around. When something like LA happens, that is a test run. And while we're on the subject of test runs, I know all of you are sick of the CIA, but you're not going to ever hear the end of the CIA from me, because the CIA is the planning division, the orchestrating division, and the enforcement division of the world plan. You can't get away from it. They even arranged it so that you have a secret court where the victim, they don't even call you a defendant. You are called the target. And you don't even know they're having hearings about you. And EJ, I think maybe this room ought to hear that. It is the last writing on today's. This is how bad it is. And this took place in 1981. Early in the year, the law was passed, the executive order, and it came into being.
Justice, injustice. Because I get so much flack from ones who just can't believe the judicial system or the Constitution treading upon is as bad as I have said, I think you need some more information so that you might reconsider. What I will give you is not realized by the many, so you are going to have to follow along as if on new turf. I warn you, however, that the original publication of this information took place in 1981, over 10 years ago. And do you think it has progressed or faded? Secret Court Treads on Constitution, 1981. The first secret federal court in U.S. history is now empowered to maintain or suspend at will the privacy rights and constitutional prerogatives of thousands of Americans who have committed no crime, not even a traffic violation. This special panel of anonymous judges is sitting in a windowless, tightly guarded, and electronically secured courtroom whose location is known only as somewhere in Washington. An executive order issued by President Ronald Reagan on December the 4th, 1981, granted broad new powers to the CIA and other federal security and intelligence branches. Under the order, citizens will face dramatic infringements of their traditional freedoms, subject only to the opinions and rulings of the secret court. The judicial panel, which has no precedent in American jurisprudence, came into existence in 1978 with the enactment of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, nicknamed FISA. Ironically, the new tribunal, called the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, was launched for the ostensible purpose of introducing judicial moderation into the high-handed and helter-skelter system under which government agents could snoop on any citizen whose tendencies or tax returns they disliked. But as often happens when federal bureaucracies engage in augmenting their own authority, the impact of the secret court on privacy rights and civil liberties was just about the opposite of its creator's original intentions. Creating a secret court flew in the face of the Constitution's stated prohibitions and implied intentions. This perceived statement came right out of the U.S. Intelligence Service. In fact, this source is a former national journalist who now serves in a government official post in an area so secret that even restroom access requires a special clearance. The original idea was to place limits on the intrusions of federal snoops into the private life of Americans, but setting up a secret court, a concept that is in itself contrary to the constitutional concept of inviolable citizen rights, turned out to be exactly the wrong way to go about it. Seven secret judges. This source had a very pessimistic conclusion. His duties included reviewing and condensing the Cloak and Dagger Court's secret case dispositions. His conclusion was shared by an involved former federal attorney and notable Watergate prosecutor, who is now in private law practice in Washington. The surveillance court consists of seven judges. They were personally selected for the job by guess who? Chief Justice Warren Burger, who reportedly cleared the names with the president on a private and confidential basis before the appointments were confirmed. But never were they announced, then or now, to the public. The seven-member tribunal convenes in secret and hears arguments only from government lawyers and prosecutors. These are the only judicial proceedings in America, that you can know of, in which a citizen facing judgment has absolutely no presence, no voice, no counsel, nothing. In fact, the victim in point may well not even know he is under attention. The citizen in point may well be blissfully unaware that his case is sub judice in the court. In the proceedings, although his rights and interests are vitally affected, he is not even called a defendant, but merely a target. The American whose case comes before this court is, in reality, a target for government surveillance undertaken with variable intensity by all sorts of means. So-called tails who follow every move of the suspect, phone taps, electronic listening devices planted under the wall paneling or beneath beds, and so-called pinhole TV cameras, micro-miniaturized video monitors which watch and record every move in an entire room, day and night. Three cases. Let us consider three cases in point, for example, all in 1981, so that you can get the picture and probably recognize the parties involved. We shall guard against using real names to qualify as a target for such pervasive, indecent, and demeaning bureaucratic snooping. A citizen need not be a spy or a foreign agent, or even be suspected as one. To demonstrate the extremely broad latitude of the surveillance court's jurisdiction, we shall consider these cases. Number one concerned the Shah of Iran. Arguing that although the late Persian monarch was not suspected of espionage or other evil doing, his phone calls and personal conversations promised to be a rich source of foreign intelligence. The CIA asked for permission to bug the visiting sovereign's New York hospital room. Although no formal record exists of the surveillance court's decision in this matter, there were no written opinions, no stenographers, and no transcripts in this tribunal. When it was determined to simply kill the Shah, even his sickbed was wired for eavesdropping, just as the CIA requested. Number two was targeted against a native-born U.S. citizen of patriotic views and impeccable conduct, who will be known here as End in Sight. He became a candidate for the federal watch list because he happened to subscribe to a foreign technical periodical from a distributor of overseas publications who was suspected of a link to his native country's intelligence service. Demonstrating their potential for blind technological wizardry, the immense computers of the Hush Hush National Security Agency plucked Sight's name literally from the air, that is, from an overseas telephone call between the suspected periodical's distributor and his superior in the Home Office. The electronic circuits quickly imprinted the name on a form for such intercepts. End in Sight became a target for government observation. The CIA motion to keep an eye on this dangerous individual was promptly granted by the court. In number three, the target, Fiddle-Dee-Dee, is a ship's architect who simply accepted a job in another country. Although that country was not behind the Iron Curtain, it maintained an embassy in Washington whose commercial attaché was suspected by the CIA of having dubious social contacts with Soviet bloc diplomats. When the name of Fiddle popped up among the commercial attaché's routine paperwork, not just as a name but as the recipient of an expense advance for travel, it promptly went on the electronic watch list, and there it remained with the blessing of the Cloak and Dagger Court for more than a year. Executive Order, Open Season on All. With this executive order, number 12333, is removed the long-standing ban preventing the CIA from infiltrating U.S. organizations, and legally even the meetings we have on Saturday afternoon, or you in church praying on Sunday, from conducting covert operations here, or from using U.S. citizens as spies or provocateurs in domestic projects. This is actually a major happening right in this little gathering or business meeting format that we have here. Under Executive Order 12333, for example, the CIA can bug with impunity the office of anyone, any patriotic nationalist institution, or pay agents to infiltrate and spy. How far EO 12333 will go, or has gone, depends upon the secret court. Now, since the Supreme Court justices are appointed by the President and the President is run by Henry Kissinger, who do you think might be under surveillance? So the nice thing is that we simply do nothing to cause them grief. We just exercise freedom of speech and business with total integrity. It is surely not our fault that our businesses never can make a profit. If indeed they would leave us alone, perhaps we could thrive into tax. Well, anyway, taxpayers instead of non-taxable poor folk. What really happened is that the CIA was given total permission to carry on domestically at home the way it does abroad. It can infiltrate an organization of any kind, but with ongoing permission to do so with organizations whose goals or policies or connections are at odds with the bureaucratic policies of the moment, and then blacklist the entire group. Remember, once you become the target for this kind of relentless supervision, the bureaucrats may catch you at something they didn't suspect in the first place. Tax resistance, marital infidelity, owning an unlicensed firearm, speeding, just anything at all. And these discoveries, though they may have nothing to do with your patriotism or loyalty, will end up in your file, giving the bureaucrats added leverage to manipulate and perhaps damage your life. This is the reason we are so offensive and close-minded to access of any of our property in use, because any kind of drugs other than the over-the-counter or direct prescription for infections or alcohol use on the premises and absolutely no firearms or weapons allowed, registered or otherwise. The strongest weapon herein is a very weak pellet gun for scaring the squirrels from the bird roosts. We are not here to overthrow anything. We are here to bring the truth and allow ability to grow up through that which has come upon you as remnant. In fact, we welcome assistance for helping the citizens from the government, for you have all contributed to the coffers and should be able to utilize some of the rewards. This is in housing, food growing, etc. We must remember, the ones in power still have to look good. For that is the way of the adversary. He wants to make you think him wondrous, while he kills you inch by painful inch. The adversary always allows you to end up responsible for your own plight. Well, during the first half of 1981, under its presiding George L. Hart, Jr., the Secret Surveillance Court heard government attorneys argue 508 cases of suspected targets, and it granted the motion for surveillance, and all that goes with that in every case. Is it any wonder that among the ones who know of the court, it is laughed about and noted that it is the only court where the government has never lost a single case? So, who loses? You, and the constitutional freedoms of America, of American citizens, are totally lost. Will you ever obligate the Congress to review such incredible procedures? This is called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, to make it more strange. Indeed, it facilitates exactly that which was never meant to be allowed under constitutional law. It is said it was only meant to affect those it was meant to inhibit, alien spies and their U.S. accomplices. I wonder how Mr. Demyanyuk and Colonel Bogreitz and feel about it. How do you who are fighting the RTC and the SNL injustice and make waves feel about it? How do you feel about it for just writing truth? I can only remind ones, what goes around comes around. That which is projected out comes full circle back.